بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله we've completed the second week the 14th night that we're discussing some of the awesome endless virtues of the two sacred harams and yesterday I spent most of the session discussing the awesome Masjid Quba. So just to add a few things. Next to Masjid al-Quba, there's a famous well called the Well of Aris. And the reason it's a famous well is because of a famous incident that took place where Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, i.e. the third Khalif, he had the ring of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he passed it to Mu'ayqib, who was in charge of the ring, another companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the ring fell into that well. He then made all attempts to recover the ring, but they couldn't find it. And then the narrations mention that the troubles began, i.e. the fitna and fasad started to accelerate. So this indicates that the ring of Rasulullah being lost, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which he would use to stamp the letters that he would send to dignitaries, that was a sign that the troubles were coming. And Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu tried his best to recover that ring. This blessed ring is very similar to the ring of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, the hadith is in Tirmidhi, he had a ring. And the beast at the end of time, the Dabba, he will strike the people without Iman with the ring, and then people will recognize them as unbelievers. So this ring is used to control the shayateen. Sulaiman had it, alayhi salatu wasalam. The report indicates that the ring was lost. His reports indicating this. So look how interesting, similar thing occurred. So it's like history replaying itself. So the blessed well of Aris is there. And this is why it's mentioned next to Quba. The other obvious thing to point out is what was Uthman doing there? So this shows that they were there to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The other thing which is worth pointing out is that there was another masjid built, which is a short distance from Masjid al-Quba. It was called Masjid Dirar. Now this masjid was built by the hypocrites, the munafiqs. And their intention was to use it as a base to undermine the Muslims. So they actually asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come and pray in that masjid to bless it. And at the time, our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was heading towards the book on a campaign. And he said, when I come back, you know, I'll pray there. But when he was on his return journey, Allah the Almighty and Glorious revealed that this was a masjid of the munafiqs. Destroy it. And the verse where this is mentioned is just prior to the verse I mentioned yesterday about Masjid Quba. It's called Masjid Dirar. And Allah condemns it, it was destroyed. Now what's amazing, that masjid is not that, well, it's not a masjid, you know, inverted commas. That temple that was destroyed, that place has become so cursed that people do not even live there. People go ill when they go there. So this shows the wretchedness of the munafiqs. So look how amazing. You got all these other things around Masjid al-Quba. Very interesting things. One is the blessed well of Hadith. Then you got Masjid Dirar. Should you go to no. Just worth mentioning that there's a wretched place there as well that the munafiqs had built. So inshallah today to now discuss the jewel in the crown, I in the holy city, and that is of course Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the masjid of our beloved messenger was the second masjid to be built. Masjid al-Quba was the first. He spent sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like I mentioned yesterday, minimum of 3 to 4 days in Quba, maximum of 3 weeks. Then he went to Al-Madinah. What is the reward of offering the prayer in Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? In Hakim it is Mustadrak 4-509, Sahih, Zahabi, Sahih, Sahih, in As-Sahiha number 2902. Our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one prayer in this masjid of mine is better than four prayers in Masjid Al-Aqsa. And how good a place of worship it is. One prayer in this masjid of mine, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is better than four prayers, i.e. in Masjid Al-Aqsa. And how good a place of worship it is. So let's look at this. So this is a sahih hadith, flawless report. Now, if you don't know the history of Masjid Al-Aqsa, then you won't really appreciate this hadith. So it's very important to highlight something about Masjid Al-Aqsa. So we should all know that the most rewarding place to pray is Masjid Al-Haram, i.e. the Holy Kaaba. We should all know the second most rewarding place to pray is Masjid Al-Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we should all know that the third is Masjid Al-Aqsa. Granted, we discussed Quba yesterday, but we'll leave that some other time to discuss. So now, why is this shocking? This hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, one salat in my masjid is better than four in Masjid Al-Aqsa. But then he said, but what a great place of worship it is, I Masjid Al-Aqsa. Meaning, I'm not belittling it. But one prayer in my masjid is four times greater. Now this actually is a secret highlighting the greatness of our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So why do I say that? Because why is it that Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has a precedence over Masjid al-Aqsa? It shouldn't have a precedence over it. So what do I mean by this? Masjid al-Aqsa was the first Qibla of the Muslims. Was Masjid al-Nabi ever a Qibla? No. That's number one. Number two, 40 years after the Kaaba was built, Masjid al-Aqsa was built in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. Much later, Masjid al-Nabi was built. So in age, Masjid al-Aqsa has precedence. Number three, all the prophets have prayed in Masjid al-Aqsa, every one of them, alayhi salatu wa salam. Not all the prophets have prayed in Masjid al-Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So then, why is it that Masjid al-Nabi is greater? Have you understood? So the secret lies in one fact. It's because Rasulullah, with his holy hands, built that masjid. That's the secret. Masjid al-Aqsa, Rasulullah did not build, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Kaaba, he helped to rebuild. He put the stone back. That's why it has a status. Masjid al-Nabi was built by the sacred hands of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did I mention yesterday? Masjid al-Quba was built by the sacred hands of Rasulullah. And look what the Sahaba started saying. He goes, I prefer it double over Masjid al-Aqsa to pray in Quba. There's the secret. Masjid al-Nabi is because of our beloved messenger. And look at how great his status is. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One prayer in my masjid is better than four prayers in Masjid al-Aqsa. How is that possible? And the response is Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not forgetting that Rasulullah was miraculously taken to Masjid al-Aqsa. Why? Because of the sanctity of Masjid al-Aqsa. If he had not gone there on the Buraq, if Allah Ta'ala had taken him from Makkah to the heavens, in your heart, you would have lost a bit of veneration for Masjid al-Aqsa. So Allah Ta'ala loves that place. He miraculously took him to Masjid al-Aqsa first. Then from there, he went into the heavens. But despite the fact he went there, it's still not as sacred as the Masjid al-Nabi. So this is the first thing. The second thing. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? One prayer in my masjid is four times greater than Masjid al-Aqsa. So now you need to know the reward for Masjid al-Aqsa to work out what the Prophet is referring to, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Nasai, Ibn Majah, Ahmad Ibn Khuzayma, Sahih Ibn Hibban, Sahih Targhib number 914. Our beloved messenger, he mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam finished building Masjid al-Aqsa, roughly, I put in brackets, roughly 1,000 years before Christ, alayhi salatu wasalam, he asked for three things. He goes, oh my Lord, give me judgment like yours. Allah Ta'ala answered that. Subhanallah. Oh my Lord, give me a kingdom like yours. Allah Ta'ala answered that. Then he said, oh my Lord, whoever comes to this masjid of mine, purify him of sin as the day his mother gave birth to him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will answer this dua as well. So now let's look at this briefly. What dua did he make? Number one, give me judgment like yours, Ya Allah. You think, hang on a minute. Prophet of God doesn't make strange duas. They only ask for what's permissible. Allah Ta'ala gave him that. That's why his judgments were amazing. You noticed. If you know anything about Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, his judgments, why? Because Allah Ta'ala blessed him with that. One judgment is mentioned in the Quran. Mm-hmm. Then he asked, give me a kingdom like yours. His kingdom was like a mini version of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had control of everything. The wind, the animals, the plants, jinnat, everything. But then he said, whoever comes to this masjid of mine, Ya Allah, forgive them. So that is the reward, one of the rewards, not all of the rewards for paying Masjid al-Aqsa. Question, how can you be four times more purified than the day the mother gave birth to you? That doesn't even make sense. If you are sinless the day your mother gave birth to you, that's it. You don't start saying, and some mothers. Well, mother was left. A child doesn't come out with sin. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, four times greater, meaning more than four. So look at the purification that takes place in Masjid al-Nabi when you pray one prayer. Think about that. Four times more, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. The hadith I mentioned, I'll mention it again. In Ibn Majah, Imam Ahmad in his Musnad number 16,117, Bayhaqi 5-246, Bazar number 425. It's Sahih in Sahih al-Jami number 3,841. Our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a single salat in my masjid is better than 1,000 salat anywhere else, except in Masjid al-Haram. For a single salat there is 100 times better than a salat in my masjid. So this is, I mentioned this a few nights prior. So what did the Prophet say? There's nowhere on the face of the earth you can pray which is more rewarding than praying in my masjid. Is 1,000 times greater than anywhere else, except the Kaaba. That is 100 times greater than my masjid. So now, just to mention this, I'll mention it briefly again. Use the miswak and wear the turban, the imamah. Why? If you use the miswak, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Bayhaqi in Shu'ab al-Iman number 2774, offering salat having performed miswak is 70 times greater than the salat performed without using the miswak. So that multiplies the salat even more using the miswak. The imam in Daylami in his Musnad al-Firdaus number 3233, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, two rakat salat performed whilst wearing an imam are greater than offering 70 rakats without wearing an imam. I gave you the calculation a few nights back. But just to reiterate Masjid al-Nabi. So if you use the miswak in Masjid al-Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you wear the imamah, the reward for the salah then becomes this. In Masjid al-Nabi, one salat behind the imam multiplies over 2,450,000 times. Subhanallah. If you use the miswak, you wear the imam, and you pray one prayer in Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it multiplies over, underline that word, over 2,450,000 times. Meaning, it's like somebody who's prayed at home for more than 1,400 years. You've got that in one salat. But, closer to the mark, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned about the imamah in Daylami in his Musnad al-Firdaus number 3805, offering salat whilst wearing an imamah is equal to 10,000 virtues. If you put that into the calculation, then the reward in Masjid al-Nabi is greater than 700 million offered individually, which is around 400,000 years. So this is why it's so important that you use the miswak, you wear the imamah when you go to the holy masjids. Why? Here you get the great rewards. But there, computer fail again. Right? You must be a fruitcake. If you're not going to use the miswak and the imamah there, then you truly are a fool. So note, you can increase on the virtues of these great prayers in that holy masjid with those two blessed sunnats of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now, another reward. That's only part of the reward. There's another reward you receive. Hafiz ibn al-Jawzi rahmatullahi alayhi, in his Wafa'ul Wafa, our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever makes wudu and leaves with the intention of offering salat in my masjid will then receive the reward of one hajj. Subhanallah. Whoever makes wudu and leaves with the intention of offering salat in my masjid sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will receive the reward of one hajj. So now, a person asked me, he goes, is this hadith authentic? And this shows that people sometimes they switch off. So I said to him, why do you find it hard to believe that you get the reward of a hajj if you pray an obligatory prayer in Masjid al-Nabi? And that's what it basically boils down to. He found it hard to believe. Then I says, don't find it hard to believe, because didn't the Prophet say this? So Allah said, in Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Bayhaqi, Targhib number 917. Salat fi Masjid al-Quba ka Umrah. A salat in Masjid al-Quba is like an Umrah. Didn't he say that? And then suddenly the penny drops. You go, oh yeah, yeah. Right? Oh, no. Oh yeah, yeah, nah. Everybody quotes that report. Then you go, so how can Masjid al-Nabi be less than Umrah? Even logically you think, if I get the reward of Umrah in Quba, then surely in Masjid al-Nabi is going to be greater. So what's greater than Umrah? Hajj. Now think about that. You get in the reward of Hajj. Now what's fascinating about these reports? Why are you getting the reward of Umrah and Hajj? Because it's hinting to something. It's telling you that you're supposed to be doing those deeds and coming to the Masjid of the Prophet thereafter. That's why the Prophet said you get the reward of Umrah and Hajj, because you're supposed to have done that. Then you come to me. For some fruitcakes, they don't go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine, right? Because when I went to Umrah, then what do? I went back home. Brother, what about? Oh no, brother, I was, you know, I didn't have time and this, that, and the other. And then you think, you didn't have time. Because what did you do? Because I did Umrah. That's what's confused me, brother. You could have got, how long were you there? For one day. You could have got about 100 Umrahs. Then they look at you and say, what are you on about, brother? Go to Masjid al-Quba. If you do 200 rakats, you go 100 umrah. Right? Then he goes, eh? I forgot. You missed 5 hajjis as well. Right? And then there you go. Because the person has got knowledge. He has got understanding. He's doing things which he will get the reward for. But if he had any sense, and that's leaving aside, a'udhu billah, what about Rasulullah? Are you going to pay, he taught you everything and you bypassed it. Astaghfirullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So not hajj reward. People say you should do 40 prayers. And goes, yeah, but what about hajj? Is that just a little pop-up that you're mentioning there? So if we do 40 prayers, inshallah, which we have intention for, you got 40 hajjis. Think about that, 40 hajjis. And then 4 times more sinless than the mother gate. I don't even know how to work it out, brother. Right? You know, what is actually happening in Masjid al-Nabi? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If that wasn't all, why should we pray 40 prayers there? This is another argument. In Imam Ahmad's Musnad Tabarani, in his Awsat Targhib, number 911, Sahih, Ibn Hajar Asqalani said in Fath al-Bari, Hassan, Fiqh al-Sunnah, volume 5, page 133, our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, if anyone offers in my masjid 40 salats, not missing any, then he is bara'ah from the fire, bara'ah from punishment, bara'ah from hypocrisy. So let's look at this. So first, the authenticity. is this hadith weak? So Shaykh Albani rahmatullah alayh, he mentioned it has a weak chain of transmission. However, what have the other ulama mentioned? Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani, who is Amir al-Mu'mineen of Hadith, he said the Hadith is Hasan. Amir al-Mu'mineen of Hadith means the highest in terms of understanding the Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, the how up you go in terms of authority, the Hadith is authentic. Hafiz Munzari in his Targheeb said it's Sahih. So therefore, if somebody says the Hadith is weak, you understand where you're coming from. You've looked at the research of one of the respected scholars, and he has graded it weak. No problem. MashaAllah. However, we would like to point out to you that scholars of greater knowledge and understanding, closer to the time of Rasulullah, have graded the Hadith authentic. So anyway, you know, don't go too much into that. I wanted to mention that. Now let's look at the Hadith. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? If anyone offers in my masjid 40 salats, not missing any. Now what does that mean? 40 salats means 8 days, 5 obligatory prayers in Masjid al-Nabi. That's the only way to get 40 prayers there. You have to spend 8 full days there. Now that's interesting. As if the Prophet wanted you to spend time with it. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 8 days. You can't miss any prayer. You miss it, it's gone. You have to catch the prayer. Some ulama, they say, as long as you catch the prayer, why are you going in doubtful area? Don't miss any of the prayer. Get there early. For example, somebody says, I prayed all 40 prayers, but I missed 1 rakat at Fajr, I missed 2 rakats at Zohar. And then your heart doesn't settle with it. You think, well, you did, brother, but you're missing rakats. So why have you gone into doubt? You hope you'll get the reward still. But I'd rather not go down that path. I want to get all the prayer in without missing any of the prayer. Now look at the wording the Prophet used. You know, this is the problem with the translation. You get some people telling you this. You are free from the fire, free from hypocrisy, and free from punishment. That's not what the Prophet said. He said, Bara'a. Now what is that word that he used 3 times in this hadith? There's a surah in the Quran. Surah 9, guess what it's called? Surah Bara' or Surah Tawbah. But it's called Surah Bara' in Sahih Bukhari. What does Bara' mean? Bara' is, you know, when you get a royal procession and the king hasn't arrived yet, but you get those courtiers with those trumpets and they make a royal, you know, a noise, proclamation. And everybody goes, what's happening? What's happening? Because the king's, and then they made that announcement. Hear you, His Majesty is coming. That in Arabic is Bara. Does that mean free? What planet are these people on translating Hadith of the Prophet? Right? He said Bara, a royal proclamation is made. Imagine. Meaning, you know, not glad tidings. The King of Kings is making a proclamation for you. You know that fanfare. He goes, hear you, so-and-so is free from the fire. That's the first royal proclamation. Then again, hear you, so-and-so is free from punishment. Third proclamation, hear you, so-and-so is free from hypocrisy. Somebody goes, what? Free from the fire? Free from punishment, free from hypocrisy, for what? 40 prayers in Masjid al-Nabi. Did you pray? And this is the problem. Right? First, people don't know. Fair enough, you didn't know. Other people don't act upon it because they go, the hadith is weak. And that's a very strange mentality as well. Why are you treating a weak hadith as a fabrication? And secondly, is it really weak? And thirdly, you get fruitcake translating it. You're free from the fire, free from punishment. It doesn't say that. It says bara. And look at the difference. You know, what I'm trying to explain, you understand there's a huge difference in the way the Prophet is written. And you can imagine how he was uttering this hadith. Because don't you want the declaration in your favor? Imagine after 40 prayers, you're all hugging each other. Mubarak. You know, really, you should be weeping and hugging each other, thinking the royal proclamation has been made. No fire, no hypocrisy, no punishment. Think about that. And yeah, you'll get people leaving. Imagine 6 days there, 5 days there, missing prayers. Where were you, brother? Fish market, what were you doing, right? No, no, I prayed, brother, I prayed. I know you prayed. You know, if you didn't pray, my God, you know, what the hell? I'm not asking, why did you miss the prayer in Masjid an-Nabi? What was more important than missing the Salat in Masjid an-Nabi? Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Think about that. What's more important? For somebody dying. If there wasn't, maybe there is an excuse. But that's never the case. It's always some like, oh, I got caught up in market. You got, you know, subhanAllah, isn't it? You know what's going on there. So now, another thing, and this is worth mentioning. Hafiz Zahabi in his Seer, volume 4, page 42. Abida al-Salmani, rahmatullah alayh, he said, if I could get one single hair from the hair of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it would be more beloved to me than all the gold and silver on the entire face of the earth. Subhanallah. So let's look at this. Abida al-Salmani was a imam, tabi'in. So he's a tabi'in. He saw many sahaba. What did he say? If I could get one blessed hair of Rasulullah, I'm telling you now, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that would be more beloved to me than all the gold and silver on the earth. So this is the first thing Hafiz Zahabi quotes. Then look what Hafiz Zahabi said. This is the point. This is a statement of this imam 50 years after Rasulullah. Only 50 years. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If a rich person does spend most of his wealth in acquiring any of this, the priceless belongings of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would you consider him a waster? A person of israf? He goes, never. Do spend whatever you own in visiting his masjid, which he built with his own hands. Subhanallah. Look how they're breaking it down. So you hear the report, everybody, what are you saying? Subhanallah. You don't even understand what the imam's saying. Subhanallah. What did he say? I just felt like saying Subhanallah, brother. Right? So what did Abida rahmatullah alayhi say? If I could get one hair of Rasulullah, and somebody goes, give me that hair for all the gold, all the silver on the earth. He'll say, keep your gold and silver. Then the sheikh said, this was a tabi'in. He goes, so what about us? Somebody goes, how much is it, brother? How much is it? What a bad thing to ask. How much is it? What, brother? Where are you going? Barbados, right? You know, what are you asking about money for? Look what he's teaching you. He goes, Rasulullah built that masjid with his hands. If you spend the entire money of the earth, you still are not doing israf. Think about that. Israf means that you're a shaitan. You're just wasting money. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, he doesn't love those who do israf. But he goes, here you can't do israf. Think about it. And are we spending hundreds of thousands? Think about that. Right? You know, even if it was, brother. Even if I became a pauper, it's more than worth it to go to that blessed masjid of Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Think about that. Now what are you starting to realize? When you're in Makkah, you're visiting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the impression you get. When you're in Al-Madina, what impression are you now getting? You're going to Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is there anything greater than Allahu wa Rasul? Think about that. Anything greater than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger to spend your money on. Look at the money we waste. Right? Brother, I bought coffee. Good for you, mate. Right? What do you do? I bought some land. Good for you, mate. Right? What did you do? Just throwing money away. Right? 100 here, 1,000, 1,000. Then they start, the same people go, how much is it to go on Umrah, brother? Brother, for God's sake, don't start me off. I got blood pressure as it is. Right? No asking about how much, you know, you're spending 100 grand there, 200, and you're asking about how much it cost. And forget about Umrah, Hajj. They start joking, 5 grand. Right? Brother, where are you going? Right? Where are you actually going? Right? The Tabir are teaching you one hair of Rasulullah is priceless. You're going to a place where he built with his own hands. Masjid al-Quba, Masjid al-Nabi, where he walked, his Mubarak feet, where he lays buried, where the dust becomes shafa. which is greater than four times in Masjid al-Aqsa. But you only understand that if you prepare. If you just go, yeah, book ticket, yeah, let's go, lads. And then he wakes up and he gets there. What do you do now then? Get up for Fajr, innit, brother? Get up on time, innit? Right? And, you know, you've got to prepare. And this is what it's all about. Once you prepare, and imagine Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, you should always remember, we are teaching what Rasulullah taught. Everything I'm telling you is from Rasulullah. Imagine how much encouragement he gave before any deed. The Sahaba were ready for it. They gave their lives. But look at us, dragging our feet. I'll go next year. MashaAllah. Next year comes, what happens? Oh, I've got a problem, brother. Maybe next year, inshallah. Subhanallah. And inshallah, we will mention other things about this beautiful masjid tomorrow. سبحان ربي حمدي سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات واصبحوا